All right. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. We'll see how many are still ready by the time I'm finished. Amen. Pastor Josh called yesterday and said, hey, can you preach tomorrow? And I said, yeah, I've been working on a message. I'm ready to go. And then I changed it last night at midnight, and then I changed it this morning at 4, and then I changed it again at 7. So I don't know what I'm preaching. Got an idea where we're going. How many of you have ever flown in an airplane? How many of you realize there's a thing known as the miracle of flight? We were not created to fly. We don't have wings. It's not in our nature to fly, but somehow, in all of our wisdom, we figured out how to fly. Years and years and years ago, when I was getting my pilot's license, I was just learning how to fly, and they wanted to teach us a valuable lesson about gravity. That gravity is a lie. Has anybody ever jumped out of an airplane? I don't know why you would ever jump out of a well-maintained airplane, but for those of you that have done so, you know, great. But there is a law that's called gravity. And I remember we hopped in the airplane, we're going down the runway, we're getting ready to take off. And as we take off, everything's going great. And we're flying around doing our thing, and he's teaching me some stuff. And he says, now I want to teach you what happens when you stall the airplane. And I'm thinking, you don't have to. I'm good if the airplane just keeps going. We don't need to stall this thing. And he goes, no, you need to know what's going to happen if the airplane should ever stall on you. And so he said, so I'm going to put us into a stall. And I'm thinking, oh, Jesus. And if you've ever flown an airplane, there's a thing known as white knuckling. That's when you grip the yoke so tight, there's no blood in your knuckles, and they turn white. That's white knuckling it. So we're in this airplane, and we're taking off, and we're going straight up, and then we're going backwards, and then we're going down, and I'm looking at trees. Gravity does not care who you are. It doesn't care your knowledge level. It is a law that is in effect whether you want it to be or not. It is gravity that is keeping me on this stage. And no matter how wild I get, it's going to keep me on this stage. So it was in that airplane. As soon as the airplane stalled, we went over backwards, did a little tilt, and now we're heading straight for the trees. He's going, now, in a moment like this, don't panic. By now, I'm already thinking where the nearest new shorts are because I'm already in panic mode. He says, but you don't want to panic. You just gently grab a hold of the yoke and pull back. Every airplane in the United States is designed to pull itself out of a stall. If you just let it go and gently pull back, the air will start going over the wings. Lift will take over from gravity, and you'll start to pull out of that. And I'm thinking in my head, any time would be okay with me. You can quit explaining until we're lifting again because the trees are getting bigger. Somewhere, he pulls back and we miss the trees. And I was feeling much better. Whether we understand laws or not, they're there. There's natural laws that other laws can counteract, but laws are real. How many of you have ever had a speeding ticket? How many of you ever went speeding through an area and you didn't know what the speed limit was? And they pulled you over and you said, I didn't know what the speed limit was. And they go, ignorance of the law is no excuse. So here we've got laws that are natural that are in effect, whether we want them to be or not, they're in effect. And we've got other laws that have been man-made that are in effect. And whether you realize them or not, you could be penalized for not knowing the law. And many times in Christianity, we find ourselves in the very same situation. That the Bible, if I could put it to you like this, a lot of times when people look at the Bible, and by the way, Pastor Josh, thank you for having a real Bible again. I think it took 2 years for us to all get converted to electronic Bibles when we first started. And now we're converting back to like handheld Bibles. And I'm so confused, I got them all. So, but whatever Bible you have, I want you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14. And this is going to be our text for the day. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that through Jesus Christ, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Father, today I thank you for the anointing to preach and to teach your word. And Father, I'm believing that through this day we will understand all that it is that you have for us in this moment. We love you and we thank you for it, for it is in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen. Now, I believe this, that in Galatians, the Apostle Paul is reading to the church, or writing to the church at Galatia, and he says, God wants to bless you with the blessings of Abraham. Now, we could spend a lot of time going back and figuring out what all those blessings are. Suffice it to say, you're blessed in every way you can be. You're blessed going in, you're blessed coming out, you're blessed in the field, you're blessed, 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 blessed. But there are laws that enact those blessings. There are laws that many times people are unaware of, and I hear this question so often. Why do bad things happen to good people? Is there any bad people in the room? Anybody want to be bad? Okay, let's do this. How many of you got speeding tickets? Okay, you can put your hands down. How many of you wanted to get a speeding ticket? How many of you wanted to be bad? So would it be safe to say that nobody in here wants to be bad, but you still violated the law? Whether you wanted to or not, you did, and as a result, you had to pay the penalty for that law that you broke. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, this is God's way of saying ignorance is no excuse. He said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They don't understand the laws that are enacting the very principles that will sustain their life. When we often look at the Bible, whether it's your electronic version or this, this is God's explanation of laws that are in effect, whether you want them to be or not. So he says, this is how the world works. This is how you work. This is how things work in my kingdom. If you want to have the very best and be the best, you've got to know how the law works. Now, when it comes to an airplane, there's the law of lift, but there's another law that has to go in, and it's called thrust. You know, a barn door can fly if you throw it hard enough. Now, it'll only fly for a while, because there's some things missing, but enough thrust can get anything to fly through the air. There are things that are pre-planned, if you will. And God said, these will cause you to succeed if you will stay in them. I'll cause you to fly on wings like eagles if you will follow my word and do what I've put in here. But ignorance of it is no excuse. When he looked at the nation of Israel, he said, because they lack knowledge, they're going to be destroyed. Isaiah 5:13 put it like this. It said, my people are led into captivity for they have no knowledge. So if you've ever felt like you've been in bondage or you're captive to something, it's normally because we're playing in a game where we don't understand the rules or the laws. Now, if I were to go to my son Jonathan's house, Jonathan likes to play games. But if I went to his house and he always changed the rules, before long, you don't want to go play anymore because you can't win. See, the problem I believe with many people in Christianity is they've seen various forms of the game, but nobody explained the rules. So everybody was playing by their own set of understanding, and as a result, when that understanding didn't line up to the rules of the game and they began to lose, they said, I don't want to play anymore. I did that Christianity thing once, but now it doesn't work for me. No, God's word works for everybody, and it's still working for you whether you want to play the game or not. The only difference is whether you realize it or not. So if I want to be in God's word and have the game played the way that he wants me to play, which, by the way, has a predetermined end, I win. You win. Don't you like playing games that you know in the end I'm going to win? Recently, I decided that I needed to have a lifestyle change. Needed to drop some tonnage. So I decided I'm going to go back and start working out. So I've been going to the gym 3 times a week, playing a game. And my son Jonathan and I have been going playing racquetball and just, you know, like we used to. I haven't told you the funny part yet. You don't have to start laughing. Day one, I'm swinging the racket just as hard as I used to. Man, I'm swinging hard. How many of you have heard that song, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm good once as I always was? I understand that song now. I swung really hard once, and I was as good once as I always was, but I can't swing like that anymore. My hand went numb. My arm went numb. I couldn't feel the racket in my hand, and I bruised myself internally. I'm not lying. My wife will tell you, it took 5 days for the bruises to appear. They were so deep. And then the yellow started coming through. I don't like starting a game and not being able to finish. But we were playing Friday. That wall still doesn't move. And I hit that wall so hard, I just went... That's exactly what came out of my mouth. That's it. I'm done. We were halfway through our third game, and I said, that's it. He goes, Dad, are you okay? I'm done. He goes, you need anything? Yeah, just a moment. I just need to rest against this wall right here. I know some of you are thinking I look pretty good for 80. And I do. I'm not 80. I just felt like it. You know, I'm coming home. My wife's going, what's wrong with you? I'm exercising. I like games with a predetermined outcome where I win. I'm realizing that Jonathan... is now where I used to be. My head still thinks I'm there, but my body is always reminding me I'm not. I like games where the end is already predetermined, but you got to know the rules. You got to know what it is that God said. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest they should see the glorious gospel." Let me put it a different way. The devil doesn't want you to know the rules so you can't see that you've already won. Because if you know the rules to the game and you know that you already win, it gets more fun. It's not, I have to go to church. I get to be with God's people. You know what? This is the break that I need. Imagine playing a football game and missing the huddle. How long would the coach let you stay in the game if after every play you said, I don't want to go be with those guys. I'm not going to go huddle with them. Where do you think you'd find yourself? Where most Christians today are, sitting on the bench wondering why they can't score a touchdown. You're not in the game. You don't score unless you're in the game. Those guys even know the rules, but they can't score because they refuse to play as a team. See, these are all principles that the Word of God uses for all of us to work together. And if we miss God in any one of those, now hear me, God's not looking to destroy us. He's telling us there are rules to the game. Follow the rules, you win. It's easy. Just follow the rules. But we don't want to take time to read the rule book. We're hoping a referee will come along and penalize us or tell us we scored. Well, the devil doesn't want us to know the book either. So the number one reason that many bad things happen to good people is they don't know the rules of the game. The second thing that I see is that for those who actually know the rules, like the guy who won't go in the huddle, they just disobey. Now, how many of you are parents? Got children, near children, you love them. How many of you love them when they disobey? Yeah, of course you do. You still love them. Are you happy with them? No. If you tell your child, don't put your hand on that red burner, is it because you don't want your child to have fun? Is it because you want to make their life miserable? Is it because you don't want them to be able to be high enough to see the pretty red? What are you trying to do? Prevent them from getting burned. It's part of the rules of the game. God didn't give us rules so we couldn't play with the stove. He gave us rules so we didn't get burned. Because whether we know the rules or not, whether you believe it's hot or not, you still get burned if you put your hand on it. And that's what God's trying to get us to do. So disobedience causes us to walk in things that God never intended for us, not because God wants them, but because there's laws in effect that will happen through our disobedience. Now, last week, Pastor Josh preached a little bit about Saul, a couple weeks ago, and talked about his disobedience. Let me put it to you like this. Do you realize that Moses, through his disobedience, didn't get to enter the promised land? Well, it took him 2,000 years. We thought 40 years in the wilderness was a long time. But he sent 12 spies out, 12 come back. 10 of them said, we can't do this. Now, what did God tell them? Go take the land. I've already given it to you. So what's the rule in the game? You win. I gave you the land. Go take it. 10 of the 12 came back and said, oh, we can't because we're too small in our own eyes. Now, can I just get real with us for a moment here? How many of you remember 808? See, a few of us in here remember 808, right? Some of you going, what's 808? 808 was our address on Francis in the strip mall where we had the Polly Pocket stage, right? The stage was so big that it was smaller than the drum stand here. Yeah, that's right. The stage has more square footage than our whole auditorium did. All right. So we remember 808. When we moved into 9315, we jumped a long way. We went from an 808, which was God's provision in the wilderness, to a place of stepping into God's promise that he had for us. The problem with going from the provision to the promise is that many people are great in provision, but they struggle with the promise. And it's because in their own eyes, they're too small. They were great leaders under provision, but they couldn't make it over here into promise because their leadership was only big enough for 808. And the moment they had to step into promise, everything changed. And I don't care whether it was going from 808 to here or in your life, in your job, wherever your transitions are, you've got to get from the place of where enough is just enough and God's made provision to where God wants to give you abundance and to have things explode. You've got to go from A to B, and you've got to be able to make that transition here. How do you do it? You got to know the rules are already set in your favor. That God wants you to succeed and do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think because of the power that's at work in you. Now that freaks some people out. We're not nullifying the power of God, but he said, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think according to the power that's at work in you. The way you get that power to work in you is knowing the rules. Moses listened to the 10 instead of the 2. And God said, your disobedience will keep you from the promised land. I consider Moses a great leader, but he couldn't make the transition. And it wasn't till last week that Pastor talked about Mount Transfiguration a couple weeks ago. Moses finally made it to the promised land. It was just after he died. Took 2,000 years. I don't want to wait that long for my promise. I want what God has for me right now. I want it in my life now. I want it today. I don't want it to be tomorrow or maybe someday. I don't want ignorance or a lack of knowing the rules to keep me. Then Pastor preached about Saul. You know what Saul's problem was? The same as Moses. He started listening to the people rather than God. And as a result, the anointing, the kingdom was taken from him. Now, here's the problem with laws that are enacted or God's word. Saul didn't actually lose the kingdom for 7 years. It was actually done. God had determined it. It was done. But it took 7 years for the penalty to come. And because penalties aren't quickly enacted, people often forget them or pretend they don't exist. If you've got a child that's 7 years old today and you're disobeying God, don't be surprised in 7 years when you lose the kingdom. I don't know why my child's acting like this. Because you disobeyed. You didn't follow the rules. The law was there the entire time. God said, this world is here, it's out to destroy you. The thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. If you want to avoid that, get this. I've got protections in place. I'll give you the rules that will allow you to win. You just have to know them. Saul didn't do it, he lost the kingdom. Moses didn't do it, he lost the promised land. Then Joshua goes into the promised land. They take Jericho. Man, there's a great victory. But then they're coming to another city by the name of Ai. God said, there are certain things that I've consecrated for myself, and you must not touch them. If you touch them, you die. They looked at Ai. It was not a city like Jericho. Joshua said, don't even bother all the men of war. Just send 3,000 over there. So these 3,000 guys, oh, this is light work. We'll go take care of this and go home. Instead, there was one individual by the name of Achan who took what God said you consecrate to me. And when he brought it back into the camp, they suffered a great loss. 36 men died. Israel was in a turmoil. They couldn't understand. How is it that somebody died? God's on our side. We're the anointed. We're the chosen. How did they die? And it was because one disobeyed. Now, we don't talk much like that anymore today. Because we love God. We love His grace. We love our sin. I mean, we just love God and His grace. Then we wonder why bad things happen. Many times it's because we've touched things that God said, don't you dare touch. In the garden, he said, that tree belongs to me. Don't touch it. Don't eat of it. He didn't say don't touch it. He said, don't eat of it. You got to take care of it, but don't eat it or you'll die. Sure enough, somebody thought God wasn't smart enough. Adam abdicated his authority. Eve took of the fruit, gave it to him, and he said, sure, hon, whatever you want. Ate it, and it was over. All mankind was plunged into an eternal darkness. What happened to each one of those? They all listened to the voice of men rather than the voice of God. God wants you to hear His voice, not the voice of the crowds around you that are contrary to Him. It doesn't matter whether other people say, that's not for today. No, it's still for today. Laws are laws. If I walk off this platform and say, you know, gravity was good yesterday, it isn't for today, they're going to scoop me up. Put me in traction or something, because gravity's still a force to be reckoned with. But here's what I love about AI. Once they got the situation corrected, then the Amorites got nervous. Once the Amorites got nervous, they said, we need to form an alliance. And they went up to a city by the name of Gibeon. And when they got there, they were going to attack. But by now, Israel's back on the winning side. They know the law. They know where God's at. And Joshua has enough nerve to look at the sun and say, don't move till we finish business. And all of a sudden, the sun stands still. And they wipe out their enemies and chase them as far as they can until they're utterly destroyed. See, obedience is the key. Obedience to what God has said. If you want to go from provision to promise, then you have to be able to hear what God said. And you have to also realize that the promise is bigger than you. The promise is bigger than what you see. How many of you know that in the life of this church, we've had some transition? We've had to make some changes. But if you can't hear what God's saying in the provision, you can't walk into the promise. You die in the wilderness. And God doesn't want that. Those that were great leaders, there were 12 of them that were heads of the tribes of Israel. Only 2 entered the promised land. It didn't mean they weren't great men. It meant they couldn't make the transition. Because in their own eyes, they were too small. They had self-problems, self-image issues. And those self-image issues kept them from moving into the promise. Listen, I've watched it over and over and over again in ministry. Some of us think we're so great in our own eyes that we can't step aside for what God's best is. And sometimes the enemy of God's best is what's good or what was really good at one time. If you find yourself always dwelling and living in your past, the next thing for you is death. Because you have no goal, no future, nothing to reach for, nothing to strive for. And God said, I've got some laws I want you to win. Obedience is the key. There's another man by the name of David. How many of you know David had his issues? Murderer. Adulterer. And God looks at David and goes, that's a man after my heart. I know this sounds crazy. I've actually had people say that to me. Pastor, I'm just doing this right now because I want to be like David. You're an idiot. Listen, in 35 years of ministry, you hear all kinds of stuff. When I hear somebody say, I'm just doing, I had one lady tell me, she'd been divorced 6 times. I'm going to do this one more time because then I'll be able to tell people how to stay married. I'm going to write a book on marriage. Really? Why don't you write a book on divorce? You seem great at that. I mean, you hear some stupid stuff over the years. Yeah, God just led me into this so I can write a book. God doesn't lead you anywhere to write a book. God leads you places for purpose, kingdom purposes. If a book comes out of it, great, but it's not going to be on the negative side. In fact, I think the word says, the rules to the game say, the things which are done in secret we don't even talk about. So if you're writing books about that, stop. Thank you, Pastor Josh, for allowing me to preach. The reason that David was a man after God's own heart wasn't because of the sin in his life. The reason David was a man after God's own heart is because he listened to God's voice rather than the voice of men. That's the only difference. All these other listen to the voice of men. Where are you going to church? I'm going to Genesis. Oh, we've heard about that place. That's that, you know, that's where that skinny jean preacher is. We had a guy actually text last week. I thought it was awesome, man. It was such a great text. It just, hey, man, message was great. I question his style choices. Yeah, we've heard about that place. We know what that place is. That's that place that they and then whatever spews out of their mouth. If you listen to that rather than the voice of God, you might miss the playbook. I come every week expecting to hear something that I don't know. And every week, I'll get something that stirs me into deeper knowledge with God. Every week, I love taking notes. I'll be down here in the front. I'm taking notes. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to do it now. I was doing it on my pad, and I had colors and notes, and now I've got my Bible, and now I've got colors and notes. But however you do it, make sure that you come with a heart of expectation to hear the voice of God, not just the voice of a man. Because even if you come into the house of God and you look at Pastor Josh and you revere him as a man rather than the oracle of God, you will miss the playbook. It would be one thing for me to show up and say, oh, that's my son. I've heard him before. What do you think I'm going to get that day from the message? See, familiarity will destroy what God wants to do. I refuse to become familiar with him in this context. He is my pastor. I'm going to hear his word. I'm going to hear what God's bringing through him because it might be the very thing I need for this next week in direction for me to succeed. I'm in the huddle. I want to get across the goal line. He's calling the play. I got to do that one. I may not understand it. I may not even like it. And you know what? The play called might not give me the ball. You ever heard a lineman talk like that? They never give me the ball. I don't know why I'm on the team. I should get the ball. I'm bigger than he is. That's what some people sound like. You may not get the ball, but if the team scores, you scored. All you had to be was on the field. Being on the field around Genesis could be all kinds of things. You're just actively involved. You're part of heart and soul. Every time heart and soul is called on a Sunday night, we're there. Why? Because heart and soul is important. If you're on the prayer team and we're meeting today for training, then you're coming to the training. Why? Because you're part of the team and you're there and you're going to hear what it is that God has. And we're going to do the very best we can for him. So obedience is the key. Now, I hear some people saying, well, Pastor, there's no way I'm going to know the rule book that well. First off, stop talking like that. You can know anything well if you want to. All you have to do is look at the games on your phone. Find out how many Google Play bills you've got. Or iTunes. See, we become good at anything that's valuable and important to us. You can become good in the Word. But what do you do until then? Let me wrap up with this. Until you know the rule book, just obey. Just do what you know to do. See, where there's no law, there's no transgression. You don't have to worry about blowing it if you don't know any better. But that doesn't mean stay ignorant, because ignorance is no excuse, right? But there's a time of grace that God gives us. And we're supposed to grow up. Even the Apostle Paul said, the time has come when you should have been teachers by now, but I guess I've got to go back to the basics again. For some of you, you should be teaching. You've been around long enough. You know what to do. You know how to do it. For some of you, you're learning. You just got born again. What an exciting road you're on. What an exciting time to get started. And it doesn't matter what age you are. I've had people in their 80s and 90s get born again for the first time. How exciting it is to watch somebody give their heart to Jesus and say, I've never experienced this before, and they're shaking your hand. That's what God wants for us here, Genesis. He wants us to be people that are obeying. Jesus looked at the centurion. He said, I'm a man under authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes. This one, come, and he comes. I know all you have to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus looked at him and said, I've not found such great faith in all Israel. He didn't say, I've never found such great understanding of authority. He said, I've never found such great faith. It's because he understood authority and obedience. He said, just speak the word. They have to obey. You know what? You're children of the Most High God. You're children of the King. Do you realize how powerful your words are? If you go back and you read about Gibeon, do you realize that it says, and God honored the words of a man? You get to a point to where it's not just you honoring God's word, but now you're in covenant with him and he'll honor your word. You begin to speak over that child. Maybe you haven't seen them for a while. Well, Pastor, what if I didn't raise my kids in the church? You begin speaking over your children now. You begin speaking over your marriage now. You begin speaking over your finances and your job now, and you determine in your heart, I'm going to honor what God said. I'm going to honor his word. If I don't know, I'm going to find out. If it's your situation with kids, you find out what the word says. If it's money, you find out what the word says. If it's relationships, you find out what the word says. If it's your spouse, you find out what God said. Read the rules for the game you're in, and you'll find out you win, because that's God's nature. Amen? Let's stand up.